The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. From the Holy Gospel according to John. This is the testimony of John when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. He asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to unite, untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptized. The Gospel of the Lord. First reading, John says, "Remain in Christ." One of the prayers that Father Larry made on Christmas it was the third prayer that he made. It kind of took me off guard, but I thought very apropos. And he said that we pray for perseverance. We're here today. Will we be tomorrow? I don't know. Some of you are thinking, "Well, I'm pretty holy. You know, I go to St. Peter Chanel. I pray my rosary. I've made the exercises 2 times. I'm holy, okay? I'm invincible." Hey, pride goes before the fall. Pride goes before the fall. Philip Neri, walking down the streets of Rome, saw one of those bums sitting in the gutter, "Ecco me senza la grazia di Dio," as he said in Italian, in English, "There go I, save the grace of God." St. Therese of Lisieux said that all of the worst things that any man could do in the world, I could do much worse. That's St. Therese. So don't pat yourself on the back and don't canonize yourself before time, okay? By the way, you can't canonize yourself. You have to die first, and that's a work of the Pope, okay? Did you know that? So that's one idea, is we have to pray for perseverance. We have to pray for perseverance. And if you ever study any sports games, a team can be losing the whole game and the very end loses. For example, in baseball, team can be losing or team can be winning all the way up into the 9th inning by 3 runs. Then someone gets up in the bottom of the 9th, hits a grand slam. So they're winning 99.99% of the time. They lost anyway because of a grand slam. So use that sports analogy for your own spiritual life is that we have not made it to heaven until we've crossed the line. And I don't think we have a group of Protestants here this morning. The Protestants believe what? Once saved, always saved. No? Only if it were so easy, huh? We have to work out our salvation. Can you finish it? With fear and trembling. St. Paul. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Okay. Two other words that follow that should motivate us to persevere. God has made a promise to us. It is eternal life. Eternal life is heaven. We were all created to go to heaven. The most ardent yearning of our soul should be to get to heaven. That's why we're here. That could be a wonderful New Year's proposal, is ask yourself, what is blocking my way to heaven right now? So you're walking down, you're walking on the sidewalk, and there are certain obstacles there. Certain obstacles on the... What are you going to do? You're going to move them. Otherwise, you're going to trip and fall. What do you think are your three major obstacles preventing you from arriving on that highway to heaven? Ask the Holy Spirit for the grace. Now, maybe eternal life is too ethereal, too abstruse, or too pie in the sky. What the heck does that mean? Eternal life means being happy with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Mary, the angels and saints in heaven. That's what it means. If eternal life is something too abstract for you. Let's go from the speculative, the ethereal to the concrete. So that's going to be a proposal, at least for me, is what are the obstacles in my life? I'm going to try to knock them down. Yeah, tell Mary, the Blessed Mother, get an axe. Huh? Ask the Blessed Mother, get a nice sharp axe and just cut them out and trash them. Amen? Yeah, get Mary a nice sharp axe. Cut. Eradicate. Trash. Okay, St. John also says this. You have the anointing. What the heck does that mean? Okay, many interpretations. One is obviously the Holy Spirit. But also, have any of you here ever been anointed? Not yet? How many people here are baptized? Any of you confirmed? Any of you ordained? How many times I've been anointed? The baptism, two times. You've probably forgotten the baptism. There's actually two anointings. Confirmation, holy orders, anointing the sick. I've been anointed five times. You know, each of those anointings are different. The first anointing that you received when you were a little baby was even before you were baptized in the ceremony of baptism. Know what that was? Buckle your seatbelts. It was an exorcism. Ah, I was exorcised? Yes, you were. There was what is called a major exorcism and a minor exorcism. So until we're baptized, we're under the dominion of the enemy. Not saying that you're possessed, but under the dominion of the enemy, we are. Remember many years ago, I was with my missionary group, and Teresa remembers this. I went to a house. There was like a three-year-old girl. Maybe you were there. And mother wanted me to go to the house to pray over her or to bless her. She said, okay, well, I'm in town. I might as well do it. And I went there. And I said the Hail Mary, and I put the scapular on the little girl. She's about three. She threw it off. Okay, put it down again. She threw it off. Put it on again. She threw it off. She threw it off about five times. And then finally convinced her, the mother, to bring the girl in to be baptized. And who did the baptism was Father Al Hall. And Father Al is pretty level-headed. He said he never experienced the presence of the evil one more powerfully in the baptism than that baptism. This is Father Al. I mean, she was kicking and screaming. All hell broke loose. He barely couldn't baptize her. She was kicking and screaming and writhing. And then once she was baptized, a radical transformation. She made her first communion, went to Whitney, you know what Whitney is? You know, the best high school in the area. Went to her confirmation class. But you see the power of baptism. And in the baptism, you've got the anointing. The anointing. First anointing is that of the exorcism. And then there's another anointing which refers to our triple role. That you're called to be a priest, prophet, and what's that? So you know it. You're called to be a priest, a prophet, and a king. Once you're baptized. Somebody thinking, well, if I'm a priest, Father, move aside and let me preach. Huh? There are two types of priesthood. You read this in Vatican II. The common priesthood of the faithful, and then what is called ministerial priesthood. Ministerial priesthood, I'm the only one that has that, and the guy on my left in the confessional. But you people have the common priesthood of the faithful. How do you exercise that? Not by playing tic-tac-toe during the Mass, okay, or yawning, but rather by placing your life on the altar. You place your life on the altar, all of your intention on the altar, so that when I lift up the host, and I lift up the chalice, I'm lifting you up to heaven. How about prophet? As a kid, I used to think when I was 6 or 7, a prophet is someone who looks into the crystal ball. Looking into the crystal ball, the prophet, looking into the future, a seer, a sage, un adivino, un brujo. No, but rather a prophet is someone who proclaims the good news. All of you are called to proclaim the good news by word and by example. And king. Now, kingship for Jesus is very different than the kingship for the world. Because Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life in ransom for many. So if we want to be kings in the eyes of Christ, it's the king of service. So as we listen to John the Baptist today, I've talked to you about the different anointings in your baptism. Pray for the grace to be able to live out your baptism. Live out your baptismal graces to the full, which are to renounce Satan and all of his pomps and seductions and his lies and his deceptions. That's the negative. But most important, to follow closely in the footsteps of Jesus and Mary, which lead us to eternal life. Amen.